as much as he loves corporate worship, which we do everywhere. He loves you like he loved Adam. He loves it when you lift your hands up. Things close to your heart, you choose them to tell him, you know. But I magnify, glorify. I learned these things in private worship. I magnify and glorify and lift you up. Thank you with all my heart. I thank you, and I want you to know as much as I know how and as fast as I'm learning. I love you with everything in me. And I want to thank you for coming in after me. Hallelujah. I praise you. Glorify and magnify and exalt you and lift you up. Hallelujah, Jesus. After a while, you can't hardly help but know. After a while, you can't help but know that he's done what he said he'd do. You can't help it. Your flesh is just left on the outside, and worship's just flowing. Hallelujah. 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 Glorify and magnify and lift you up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I broke in, when I really broke in for a period of time, it was when the worship key opened the door. To some, praying in tongues up, it's a revelation gift. When it opened the door to worship and wanted me to learn and add that to my foundation, and which I'll say private worship, I understand now today why the devil kind of extra showed up during the first period of time that I was breaking into private worship. He come and he put every kind of emotional pressure he could on me to stop. You know, you got to stop doing this. And I couldn't understand it, so I went and looked for some books on worship, and they just said, "You're not breaking through. So you know, screaming, whispering, he can hear them on the same level. I mean, he's hearing what you're saying. So I looked at these books, and they said, "Well, you haven't broke through." And so I'd worship again. My words would get pancake. The words got so flat that they just come out of my mouth and splat on the floor. I had to get a spatula and tried to throw them up, like, you know, just, "I love you," like a hot cake. Just, "I really love you," splat. And I'd worship and I'd feel grieved and icky and bad and failure. And this, I'm worshiping an hour trying to worship instead. And I hung on. I hung on because I knew the revelation gift opened the door. So I was going to find out what it does. So I hung on. I stayed in there even though I felt icky and failure. And so I had my arms up, and I'd hold them up as long as I could, and then they'd get tired. And I'd put them down, but that wasn't putting them down to surrender. It was just to rest them. Then I'd go back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Splat. Hallelujah. And that's when the little spot vision had. That's when the picture flashes across your mind. You know it wasn't you. It was him. And in that picture, you understand. And obviously these angels were in heaven. There's a group of them. And it looked like they was watching something like a TV. Only I was on it. And what got me is one of them says, "Look. Look at that. Hell has poured everything, all that emotional junk on him. And look at him. He can't make him put his hands down." And I thought, oh my God. Hallelujah. I wasn't losing ground. I was gaining ground. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's when things begin to change. Sometimes I would lose 2 or 3 hours. I wouldn't even know where they went. I'd get so lost. Hallelujah, Jesus. And after breaking through, I can remember the first miracles that followed that. But you know, the preacher is about one of the hardest guys to get healed. You know. The more you know, the more cannibal we are. When you ask him, "Would you pray for me?" You know, the devil jumps on me. He says, "Oh, you have to have somebody else do your praying for you, huh?" Uh-huh. All that kind of junk. But I didn't know anything was changing that drastically. I was just having a good time in fellowship, you know, worshiping the human spirit and in truth. "For he seeketh such to worship him." What does that mean? That means he waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first man to appear on this planet again that had a nature like his so he could fellowship. That's in spirit. 4,000 years. Hallelujah, Jesus. I didn't know that bathing your spirit in his presence would have something to do with his love in your life and something to do with the success of the flesh, which was getting less and less. But I didn't know how much it had to do with the power, and because I had that vision, and it was when I was coming back from a passion play in Oklahoma City concerning worship. I seen the rock land in the pond and only seen 3 waves come off of it. And the first one seemed that it kind of like baptized my new nature, my spirit in the power. But the next ring, it came out and baptized the soul. And the third one, it baptized the geography where I was at, which meant that compassion is the tangible presence of love, and that love can be and go tangible. That's why when Wigglesworth at times would walk past, get on a train or something, that people would just start weeping and come under conviction just when he walked by. Well, the pastor's wife had a thumb that wouldn't work. Wouldn't bend. And that's when I went up, and I don't know why we do that, but we test it. How far will it go up? I was going to test her thumb to see how far it would move. And I reached up and grabbed it, and it just went all over the place. And I said, "Oh, look, there's look." And I started to look. "No, there's nothing wrong." She goes, "Oh my God. This was after the meeting when I was recovering. And then that blind kid come in blind in one eye. And I started to put my hand up over his eye, and I did make it to his eye and pulled it off, and he just yelled and run outside. I can see. Well, after that taste of private worship, I continued to pray in tongues. And the revelation gift, you know, delivered me to another one then, like a fasting door. That one wasn't so much fun. But I did find out, Christ be in you. The body's dead because of sin, and the spirit's life because of righteousness. That we're in this body, it's alive, but positionally, it's been declared dead. And that extends to the sense that it does not have the power to dominate you if you won't let it. So praying in tongues builds you up in God and worship. And when you fast, you execute that death that the flesh has been positioned. And boy, if it's been sealing in you and you fast and it comes down below the operation of the Spirit and it rises above and things begin to happen, you're thinking, oh my goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I said that to say this. He loves it. You have no idea how much. But you lift those hands and you start telling him, you know, I glorify and I magnify you. I worship you and I exalt you and I lift you up. Well, I left that section behind and went on to fastings, and he taught me meditations and how the mind works and how to offer your soul on the altar of God's word and meditation. And he taught me a lot of things after that, and when it came to the end finally, and he had the foundation under me that could sustain, that's when he opened the other door. And I got to come back to the love of God one. Only this one seemed that it was the last one, and it kept getting fuller and bigger in God, and fuller until everything he had promised and had done, and revival and sickness and disease, it was there. It was in that. Everything he'd promised. So these are the steps that we're starting to take now. So I've been listening to a lot of people, and I know that the war has been turned up just this last 3 months. It's been really, really turned to another level of what a lot of people are going through and what has happened. And we can go down the list of a bunch that was hit, and we wasn't hit easy. We were hit pretty hard. But it didn't work. It didn't work. Would you be preaching to just chairs if they was here? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Because I know what's happening and what you're going to get to see happen one day. We're going to be exceedingly glad. And if you think you're exceedingly glad when you see what he does here later on, just think how exceedingly glad you'll be when you was privileged to fight one of his worst kind of wars and win and be standing there with hundreds of thousands of people that are a result of your winning. All things are almost possible to him that believeth. Right, that woke you up, didn't it? almost everything, almost everything's possible to you. Amen. You mean nothing shall be impossible to you? But then we obviously have to undo what religion did to us. Hallelujah. Yes? Oh, well, we're on the wrong track. Why? Worshiping, praying a lot in tongues, fasting, some of the best teachings in the world going forward when the other guys are up here. Covered myself real quick there. Come on. We're not the one that's afraid this time. He is. Well, it's something that it would bring us here. And when I looked for another door, the doors were on this side, one after another. Revelation gift put the key in my hand. Like I've said so many times, what was in the room, I appropriated. Next. But not the last one. The last one was at the end of the hall, kind of, and it on the other side of it was a big, big path, wide, and it was just to one place. And that was the love of God. And it appeared as a great big vault, open about a foot and a half to 2 feet, and light shining out all the way around it. You just got to know what it looked like. So I got past that and got my foot in there and stepped over, and that's when I had that 1 minute with God. That 1 minute that I knew. Now, I can go to that door there and push it open. How many can convince me if nothing happened, you know, that I'd go over and push on the door and couldn't push it open? I mean, I could go over there and push that door open. You say, well, go push it open. I could go do that. Do you have any doubt? No. No, what we call miracles is the realm where God lives. There's nothing that is that wasn't made by Him. We call it a miracle. That's just where He lives. For that 1 minute, I think He just let me know what was over there in that love. For 1 minute, that hospital I talk about so much, and you've heard it the last 4 Sundays, you're going, I know what he's going to say next. Well, then listen again. I wasn't going to that hospital where the parents have to come and see their kids just about the rest of their life or till they die. You know that one. God didn't spare much. So how do you tell a child they're different? Well, honey, you're just different. God loves you. You're just different. Why? Twisted up, can't walk, can't see. Why? Well, when I go to the hospital, I know I'm going there to pray for somebody. But this time I was going to empty it And I knew that as well as I know the door. Well, you know how I started talking somewhat. And I was talking about if I had another call, and I don't know how to liken it to. I love my call. Let's just say some mighty apostle we could all look at, and he just shook nations when he went, left them different, emptied hospitals, and scientists and doctors that could not give any explanation. You know, but I'm not him. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm not him. Well, it wasn't a minute. It just lasted seconds, but I caught a glimpse. I caught a glimpse of the power in money that's defeated almost every preacher who has taken a bath in it. I saw it. Only I saw it in such a way that it had totally lost its hold. Absolutely had no hold. And because it did, it absolutely freed God up for an abundance of it. And I said, "You mean that lives there too?" He says, "You got it." And that's why he was setting me up with, "I'd like that. How many? What do you need there? 50 million? 2 billion? What do you need? How big is that nation? How many does it have? How many are you going to go after? You need 1,267,000? No problem. Here you are." Because he's the mouth. Doesn't make my reward any different than his. I said, "That is there too." He said, "Yes, it is." And as far as I can see now at this point, he settled me in to be fluent in two things. That's the revelation gift, which is praying in tongues. And that includes all the revelation, knowledge, meditation, anything he shows you, the uncovering of it, the understanding of it, the operation of it. But that's all led here. Now the primary thing is the revelation gift in operation and the fellowship and the worship of God out of my heart. Even Njando stori elite, elite, vimo kualas kita batasi. Inesato. For prophets of old have seen this time, for the time is drawing near. You'll see. Nation against nation. Many things you've been taught will come to pass right before you, and you'll have no doubt that these are things that were spoken of by me in times past. But be strong. Be strong. There's many that's give themselves to me. How did that happen? Okay. In the mandate he gave us, revival miracles and media. Jesus said that end will come after this is published, the gospel in every nation. Well, Would you believe que vos dale macas kisi a tu kerasachi? Would you believe at the end of that tongue that he just gave that if we succeed here, that we're going to have a big part not only in the revival of media, but when it's published in every nation, it'll be the truth. So the truth is going to manifest results and will spread immediately and give him a big harvest in the last days. And we're called to be part of that. Yes, they did. Way back when I first got to Tulsa, I was just getting ready to go to a meeting and preach, and I jumped in the shower, and then he started talking to me in the shower. It was amazing how water could be beating on me and washing soap out of my eyes and stuff. And it'd be amazing that I could see something, but that's when I saw here's where we operated, and there was a belt above us of kind of darkness. And then there was bright glory on the other side of that kind of dark layer. And I said, oh, I know what that is. That's principalities and powers trying to stop us, isn't it? And he said, come right back and said, no, that's your flesh. Well, I saw people breaking through it. They were breaking through it, and some of them would get their hand through it, and they'd go in their hands, they've just anointed to lay hands on people, and some of them would just get about this far through. They'd just teach and teach like nothing you've ever heard, hardly. But a few broke all the way through to the other side, and they looked like embers of fire. Then they shot to the darkest places, and fires erupted and burned. And one shot to another place, and a fire erupted and burned, and these fires burned until they met each other. And then he came back. I saw that a long, long time ago. Little did I know I'd have to go through all of the foundation and all of that kind of thing to get to a place where he could start revealing his love and who he is. For God is, and perfect love casts out, and love never. How'd you get all that? Hallelujah, Jesus. When I get over into that anointing and I see you through his eyes, I don't all the time. But it's happening more frequently. But when I do get over there and I see you through his eyes, I see how. I see what you're worth. I see what you're worth. When the heavens and the earth pass away with the fervent heat, and you won't. And how can I keep seeing you for what you really are, what you're really worth? How can I keep seeing you with the love like that he has for you and stay the same? Some people say I'm ornery and I always have comebacks. That's because I feel good. They'll say things like that. I don't mind. Some of these things I'm saying now, I've got it all laid out. I had a 50-minute message on communion. I had. then this started flowing out. And I said, well, I've heard some of this before. This one's going to last till we do it. You know, when he was trying to show me through his love your worth, I was having a little trouble with it in the times past at certain doors. Until the revelation he gave me, which I've told you. If my choice not to tell you again, I wouldn't. God can't lie. Well, he won't. No. No, he can't. He can't. So if you would have been hiding in the garden listening to the conversation, what would you have heard? He can't lie. So he said, where are you, Adam? Did you eat of that fruit I told you not to? By the way, it's not an apple. Did you? And he knew they did. You'd have heard something like this more. Why'd you do it for Adam? Don't you know I can't lie? I can't lie. Now you have to. Now you died. You have to die. You return back to the dust. Why? Then he stopped. He judged Satan right there. Born a woman will be a seed that'll bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel. You'll just affect his walk. You know what it means to eat the dust of the earth? That's what he's reduced to. That means he can't come up behind you and shove you off a cliff. Can only operate on the level of the flesh and talk you into jumping. Just one or two of those things would wipe out an army. Had to be reduced. She said, born a woman, a seed that'll bruise your head. That's a death blow. After he did that, that was Jesus, his son, the other Adam. Who's scheduled to die in his place. So then God turns around and kills an animal. He shed their blood as a shadow. Then he took their skins, met their first needs. And 2,000 years later, lost the world. A lot of people went home with him that day. When he rose from the dead, from that era. You live 1,000 years and have 20 or 30 wives, you're going to have a whole lot of kids. They're going to live a long time and have a lot of kids. I would venture to say the world would have been covered by probably half or even three quarters of unaccountable children that went home that day. Not to hell. They went to a paradise waiting place. So 4,000 years later, I mean, it took him 4,000 years, because he can't lie, to get us back. Then he gives us a Bible full of truth, and we take his scripture and we walk out in his presence and act like he won't do it. He's truth.
Now, how do you know the children saved?
By revelation He gave me. You know, if they didn't keep the Sabbath, the Sabbath was a shadow of the rest we entered into when we were born again. That's what the Sabbath represents. It's a shadow of the rest that you and I entered in when we were born again, not by your works, lest any man should boast. It's thoroughly, totally the gift of God. So that's why they were commanded on the Sabbath to do nothing. You can't earn it. But there was some men gathering wood. So they caught them gathering the wood, and they didn't know what to do with them, so they brought them to Moses. He's gathering wood up on the Sabbath. Moses didn't quite know what to do with him, so he asked God. And God said, stone them to death. Because it's not by your works, lest any man should boast. That was saying you could work for your salvation, and you can't. But then he made a rule. It was already in place. Why do you think every male was circumcised on the eighth day? Have you ever wondered? The eighth day? Why the eighth day? Doctors try to give a reason for it. Well, the blood clots better. Why the eighth day? Because you circumcised on the eighth day, then you took in one Sabbath. And circumcision that Paul taught was the cutting away of the old man and the rebirth of the new. That's what that represented. So did the child ask, oh God, please save me? No. Did the parents know that? No. But the child was circumcised on the eighth day, which represented the cutting away of the old man, which settles the question, and of course women included, two or one flesh, which settles the old question. Where do children go when they die? They go home. They go home. So I do know that about the early world. Somebody says, well, what if a bunch of people came to get on the ark? You'd probably have them take it apart because the world would have repented. Well, Father, fullness of this reality that you walked in, and the fullness that the apostles got to experience right after you left, and the sick was brought in from everywhere, and they were healed, every single one. It happened when you wasn't there in person. Can we really see something like that, that it messed the government up and mess the doctors? Yes. For the first time in 40 years of preaching, I got to look down the path of where it comes from, what it's made of, and why God can do it. So now I know. Now I know how to set a path on purpose that the revelation gift opened up. Set this path until we'll be the devil's worst headache on the planet. Why not? Why not? Why don't we go over to 1 Corinthians words that I kick in on this. Thank you. Around the 15th verse or 17th verse or so here. Oh, goodness. Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. When Paul just walked up and down our streets, believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved are the ones that are teaching this, may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, not the one that was instituted. For in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper, and one's hungry and one's drunken. Sounds like a party. What? Have you houses to eat and drink in? Despise ye the church of God? Shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it. Remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. Many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. So at the Passover, now we call the Lord's Supper, there was a meal. And at the end of it, he said, this is my body. He took bread and said, this is broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. So this Lord's Supper communion has come down to little bread wafers and tiny little shots of grape juice. So communion has come down to this day. I got to looking at communion close, and he said, these that won't judge themselves. He said, I didn't quite know what he was talking about. Eat unworthily, for this cause many are sick among you, and many sleep, many have died. And I searched for the meaning of that. But I like what Isaiah said. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses, carried our pains. We esteemed him smitten of God, afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace, our lack of peace, was laid upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Well, in Deuteronomy 25, the first verse, he says, if two men have aught against each other, if they're striving against each other, then they go to a righteous judge. I should say, they go to a judge. And he hears the matter, and then he'll deal the punishment out. And it can be up to 40 lashes, save one. Not to go over, lest you exceed and be a vile person. So it ended up 39. Well, when Jesus was interrogated, he opened not his mouth. He wouldn't say a thing. Because in reality, he had our shoes on. He was being judged in our place. So he was assigned the full 39 lashes. And death to follow. That surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. We esteem him smitten, stricken of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. But the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. And with these stripes you were healed. So when he was outlining the communion, he was outlining the error they had in it. Making it a big evening meal, come when you want. And drunken and eating and leaving people out that couldn't afford to. So it has come down to what we offer today. When he said, "This is my body which was broken for you." The chastisement of my lack of peace was laid upon him. In other words, anything you could do to me, any anger, any destruction, no matter how rotten and mean and bad you were to me, he sat there and took the penalty and the 39 lashes and died in my place so I could go free. So this is why he warned to examine themselves. You know, and judge yourself. Which is to say, in this part of communion, if you're going to partake of this was my body which was broken for you. I took the hatred of the world so you could have the love that I have for them. You destroying somebody? You got out against somebody? This is what he was asking them to do. Would you just examine yourself? He says, examine yourself. Because this is one reason many are sickly and weak among you and are dying. Because I can't stop it. But you can. So when you come to receive, I was striped for you. There was no vile in my mouth, no guile whatsoever. And who was reviled, he answered not again. He took our sins. And his body was broken and he was hung up on the cross. He said, judge yourself. In other words, come on. Just the things he said like this scared me enough. You say to that mountain, be removed. Oh, but if you got destruction for somebody in your heart, you might as well stop and go fix it. Same way with your money. You know, you may have been a child, but if you'll let the Holy Spirit, he'll grow you up and you'll find out giving for greed don't work. I'm giving because of what I'm going to get. I caught a glimpse of money and the governor of it when it's love. I caught a glimpse, not enough to teach on it yet. See, but when you catch a glimpse of this love and you do find out, like, when you take communion, many were sick and dying. Why? because they wouldn't judge themselves in those areas. I got His love in me now. It's growing. Yes, sir. Then why cannot love somebody that hates me? Because I can't. He can't hardly heal you when you're holding out against people. And we're talking about a responsible. We're not talking about sinners and stuff like that. If we're crying out loud, that's why He came. He says, many among you are sick and weakly and dying before their time. And I can go through more scriptures, even Timothy faces that. Show you. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. What does it go into after that? Into 12. Desire earnestly the best gifts. Apostle, prophet, teacher, workings of miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and the diversities of tongues. Covet earnestly the best gifts. But let me show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way to do what? In 13, to covet earnestly the best gifts. Though I have the tongues of men and angels, mean though I can speak with tongues, but you can't habitually pray in them and stay that way. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not that love, profits me nothing. I have faith to move all mountains and don't have it. What is that? Chapters, what, 11? Chapters 12? And 13? Come on, why don't you search your heart and open yourself up? And at least start by letting Him give you things. I've had to fly a few places to make things right that were wrong. Do you know how healthy it is to walk free? Devil said, I'm going to kill you. Well, that part's over. I didn't get killed like he wanted. I got killed in another way. My old man is deader than he used to be. So, he said, this is my body. This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take, eat. You might stand there a moment. I just love it when you go get both sides, go pick up your communion cup and serve each other. This is my body is broken for you. This is your blood that was shed for you. If it does begin with you and there's people that you want to make things right with, then be sure to do the rest of it. Pray, worship, go on. Go on. So all the hatred, the shame, ugliness, cheating, the lying, the stealing. He took 39 lashes by His stripes. I was healed. Na 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 na. I hate you. Oh, okay. Anything else? All right. We'll see you later. It's hardest to forgive your enemies when they live the closest to you. Okay, I'll forgive my wife. Okay, I got it. Because they won't believe it until they see the change. What does it do to answered prayer? What do you think he was talking about? Many among you are sick. Sickly. You're dying before you die. Well, some isn't. Some is we're learning things that we need to know and we're coming out of it. We're coming out of it. But it's good to search yourself and open yourself up and be honest with God when you take the communion. This is so unusual what he's saying. So come out of religion. You don't have to walk under tradition. Come out of religion and hear what I'd have to say. For have I not come to be your teacher? Am I not a sign to receive and to give from you all that I hear? Be strong. Be strong, saith the Lord. For through the Holy Spirit, I can guide you down the narrow path. Be strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, when you're receiving the communion, you got any requests, you hold them up and say, include them in this. I know it's your body which is broken for me, and this is your blood. And I'd like to ask you about somebody. He'll sure hear a forgiveness prayer. But if you've got other things, hear them too. So, when you turn you loose, you know, try to keep some order to it. You know, if somebody gets there ahead of you, and you beat them up, after you take it, you just have to go back to them and ask their forgiveness. So you're just wasting your time. So Father, right now as we partake, he said, as often as you do this, is what you said about it. Do it in remembrance of me. And Jesus, do we remember? We're remembering better. Every day, keep teaching us about this love. We're so thankful. And we do. We forgive. We forgive, Father. We forgive. When he was trying to tell the difference between the old and the new, he says, of old it's been said, an eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth, they take your eye, put theirs out. Kill you, you kill them. Eye for an eye. But I say unto you, here's the change of the nature. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you. Slap you on the cheek, turn the other one. Takes away your money, don't worry. I'll pay you back, heap down, shaking together, running over. Men will come and give to you. Greed's one of the worst things you can have. Not abundance. Greed. Okay. Yes. This is what he wants. You want to be healed? Then ask him to heal you while you're taking it. It's happened many times. This is my body that was broken for you. All right. Women, men, be polite to the women. Don't crowd. Go ahead. Please. You're dismissed from this part and from the other if you wish. This is up to you.